Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Keith and the Girl weekend, April 13th through the 15th. I'm talking a Keith and the Girl live show. You Can't Say That Pod Wars. I'm talking my yearly stand-up show. But it all begins on the 13th, opening night. Keith and the Girl game night.
Yeah. Do you know that it's Friday the 13th that night?
Excellent.
I don't know if that matters to anyone.
Well, we rented out the space.
And it's spooky. Just kidding.
It's a hip Brooklyn. How you doing? We're going to have a cornhole competition. Perhaps you saw our cornhole set up on social media. We'll be giving away a lifetime of VIP. A giant Jenga game. You know Jenga. Well, now it can hurt you if you lose. I'm going to bring games from Poundtown. I'll tell you that. Okay, so say hi. We'll have time to hang out. It'll be a lot of fun. Inexpensive beer, liquor, wine. KeithandTheGirl.com/tickets. Everything will be right there. Today's guest, I got to tell you, probably one of my favorite human beings. When I watch TV, I go, I know this person. Featured on every talk show of any kind. Of course, starred in Aladdin. The podcast is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, a comedian now for over 45 years.
Yipes.
Ever since he was a baby.
That's horrible.
Okay, now first, guess who the guest is.
It's Sir Ben Kingsley.
Gilbert Gottfried. Yes. How you doing, Gilbert?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I liked it. I was very flattered when you said, when I see him on TV, I go, I know him.
Right.
Yeah. That's it just humbles you.
Well, yes. What is funny?
I know him. I've seen him before. Yeah.
He looks familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Should I take a picture with him, a selfie perhaps?
Oh, yeah. 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 It's like, I think I have a shirt similar to the one he's wearing.
Do you ever get that? You ever go, wait, you're famous, but they forget your name? And
Here's what I hate. And
let's start with
people,
that.
Yeah. And now people are going to start complaining. Oh, you think you're so big. But no, when people come up to me, and it's an old cliche thing. But they go, okay, what movie did I see you in? And I go, I don't know what movie you saw. And he goes, well, did I see you on TV? Why were you on the TV? And it's like, I can't give my, I'm going to give a whole resume. And then they keep going. And I go, the Tonight Show. No.
Oh, God.
Hollywood Squares. No.
Beverly Hills Cop.
No.
It's a weird intro to friendship.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You can go to keithandthegirl.com/Gilbert Gottfried and see the other times that Gilbert was on. We talk about his season on SNL. One magazine named him unsexiest person of the year.
Yeah.
We, of course, talk about the Affleck tsunami incident, the shows he was on, Rachel versus Guy, Celebrity Cook-Off, Celebrity Paranormal Project, Celebrity Apprentice, Celebrity Wife Swap. So when people say, where do I know you from? How offensive. You're obviously a proven celebrity.
Yes.
Now, perhaps it's because they see you taking the megabus for $1 from tour to tour. Maybe that throws them.
You know, and that's what pisses me off. Outside the bus, it says $1, but I've yet to be on it where it was only $1.
How much are we up to now?
I don't know. It's like, is it like $13 or something?
Do you ask for change when you get on the bus?
Yeah. Yeah, you put the coins in the slot.
Well, first of all, before we get into it, I want to apologize. I'm the one who got you the car, but I made a mistake and I sent you to my apartment. So you almost had a tour of my place.
Yeah, I saw some little place there and I thought, I vaguely remember this place. And I don't think it was that building, unless they moved.
So thank God you were scared and stayed in the car, because I believe that, honest to God, you would be living there now, knowing what to do next.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm bringing home a date. Please don't bother Gilbert. He's mumbling in my parking lot.
I'd be living there. I'd get a job as a messenger and some grocery, and that would be it.
And someday, years from now, you deliver food to your own house. And you're like, ah! Yeah.
And I go, oh my God, I'm home.
And I have three kids now.
Yes. And one of them's black. I don't know how that happened.
Your wife, Dara, we were rating back and forth. And Hemda wrote, hope you're having a great day. Will you be joining us with Gilbert? Would love to say hello in person. Also, we'll have some food available. Let me know if you two have preferences or a craving for something specific. And she wrote back that how she won't be able to join because she'll be with the kids. But as for food, I can ask him, but he likes anything that's free.
Yes.
Smiley face.
Yes.
I appreciate you feeding him. I worry when I'm away that he will starve.
Yes. So you have here, it looks like two turkey sandwiches?
Whatever 7-Eleven had.
Oh, it looked like
don't give away our secret.
Also.
It was
now. Can I take all those sandwiches with me?
We expect you to. Yeah.
I mentioned this last time Gilbert was on, but Gilbert, we don't do that for anybody.
Yes.
Coincidentally,
yes.
You enjoy red wine. We have it. Yes. Diet Coke. How specific?
I thought. My God, what a coincidence!
I like all these chip flavors.
This is, how?
And I'll say it again.
You really are home.
What's funny isn't that, and Gilbert's known for this, isn't that he's like, all right, I'm here. I'm going to eat 5 sandwiches and 5 bags of chips. He takes things to go and puts them in his cupboard at home, this multimillionaire.
Yes. Yes. And damn proud of it.
Now, did I take the thrill away by telling you it's available for you? Or would you rather I turn my back, pretended I was...
It would have been fun to just sneak it in my bag.
And you not know the lights are an empty table.
Yes.
Did I eat some? I don't even remember. Ooh, that time went by fast. Was he eating when we were talking to him? I don't even get it. I saw this movie, Gilbert. It's called Gilbert, a documentary. It is so good, and I recommend it. To everybody. And I mean everybody. The local priest. But this is so good. Hemda cried. I don't mind saying I welled up. It's beautiful.
I cried at least 3 times. And that's only because I stopped myself from crying other times. I knew he would laugh at me. I knew it.
Yeah. It was like I wasn't expecting. I mean, I knew he was making a documentary.
Right. The guy was in your house.
Yeah, and he was following me 24 hours a day, so it was not like it was hidden cameras. But he came up to me, said, you know, I've always dreamt of doing a Gilbert Gottfried documentary. And I said, well, you should set your dreams higher than that. Do a Yakov Smirnoff first.
You're like, I have Jay Leno's phone number.
Yeah, yeah. And then he started following me around. I never wanted a documentary. I just was too much of a pussy to say, get away from me. But then he did it. And it's like people like it. And it's got nothing but great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why are you surprised? Are you surprised?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. What? Totally.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
And when I watch it, it's always uncomfortable.
Right.
And I watch it and it's, you know what it's like to me? You know the first time you hear your voice recorded?
You just figured out you sound like that?
Yeah, yeah. Or you see yourself walking around in a video, whatever, and you go, oh, no, 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 I don't sound that way. I don't walk that way. And
even after all the reality shows that you were in and the TV shows?
Yeah, yeah. Somehow, and those make me uncomfortable, too. Yeah, because it's like I'm okay as, you know, if you hire me as Nick the Plumber.
Right.
In a sitcom, I'm fine.
But in here, you're the guy, and we get you at long periods of time. Do you watch and go, I never realized, do I have Asperger's?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I have, I watch, you know what I kept noticing in the documentary? I would watch myself walk, and I was thinking, oh my God, I walk like Red Fox in Sanford and Son. this kind of like stumbling kind of walk.
Does
like,
it make you start walking different?
No. But
they got to tell you, like, what John Wayne thing are you doing now? Walk normal.
Yeah, yeah.
You're putting on the whole thing.
But now I've started going, you big dummy. Hey, Alan Dester. You
know? When I would see, and I don't know if it's because the cameras were there or it's normal, but when you would say goodbye to your wife because you're going to be gone for a couple days on the road, she's the one always hugging you.
Yes.
She's the one always kissing you. Like, you are the third child. And while, yes, it's funny, it is really happening. You see what I mean? When all the cards you send her has whatever the company printed out without any thought, and you add, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Yes, it's funny, but it really happened.
I know. I know. So it makes it adds fear to it too. It's not just laughing and crying, right, but shuddering.
I mean, people must say this too. I just got a divorce. And here Gilbert Gottfried's making it work. Is it because I showed emotion? I would say I love you?
Yes.
I don't know where I went wrong.
Your cards are totally wrong, Keith.
Right. Who does your wife get to share feelings with when she has them? What does she get to do?
Oh, my God. Well,
the kids, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
They're getting older.
Well, but we also have a dog now, so she could talk to that.
But the documentary says this, how not 10 years ago, you wouldn't even want to talk about what's going on in your personal life.
Cut
to 10 years later, like we said, wife swap. Now there's a documentary.
And there's a part of the film, and it's true. I always think this, like in Wizard of Oz, there's that part where they go, ignore that man behind the curtain.
Right.
And that's where you see that the wizard is some schmuck working knobs and stuff behind the curtain. And he's a schnook.
And you're nervous that people are going to think he doesn't walk around his normal life with paper plates on his head pretending he's Mickey Mouse on acid.
Exactly.
What? He gets mail? You're a fraud!
Hey, yes!
Mickey Mouse on PCP. Fake! Yeah. You drink coffee in the morning.
He eats a grilled cheese occasionally? Right. Oh, this, I'm never watching him again.
But Gilbert brings up, like, and I think it's, is it because people take care of you that it's like he wakes up and goes, how did this life happen?
Yeah, it's another thing I always say, because they run out of things to say.
A penny saved is me.
Which you realize, if you get to know me, you go, well, he's got three topics of conversation. And why are we talking to him? I'm hitting the desk as if I'm making a point.
It's like your brain.
Yeah. And that it's like those Twilight Zone episodes, was every other Twilight. Twilight Zone had like three plots. And the cast would change. But one of them was, you know, waking up and being in a totally different life.
Right.
And you'd go, whoa, where am I? And they'd go, why, you're in the White House, Mr. President. Right. And what year is it? Why, 1803, of course.
Right. I'm going to answer normally with the weirdest question. You know it's 1803.
But and see, this is what I hate when they put someone in a different life in a movie. It was good in A Christmas Carol, because he's a ghost walking among those people. And it was, you know, it was okay in It's a Wonderful Life, because he's just a stranger observing. Right. But I hate these movies where they say, well, we're going to show you what you're, we're going to put you in the life you wanted if you won that football game or married that. And then the guy wakes up and goes, What house am I in now? And it's like, well, if that was your life, you'd know what house you're in now. And then a girl walks in and she goes, are you okay, honey? Why, who are you? I'm your wife. Well, you would know she's your wife because you would have married her.
I didn't want to win the big game and have amnesia for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hit your head celebrating.
Oh, yes.
I think he's trying to tell us that a while ago he hit his head and now he's trying to come out.
Yes, yeah. That's it.
It turns out the other life is better and he decided to stay.
But Gilbert's life, it does seem like it's that song, right? Once in a lifetime. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife asking yourself, how did I get here?
Yes.
And you really don't know.
And then there's another song. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone.
Right.
I think Robert Goulet sang that.
Were you afraid that if I do get married, or at least if it's public, I have to act accordingly and I'm going to be like everybody else? I'm not going to be this crazy kid.
Yes. There is that. And there's also, and I think a lot of people have this, it's the fear of going into analysis. A lot of people don't go into it. I'm not in analysis. Can you tell?
For what?
Well, because I'm Captain America. Right. I'm perfectly normal. It's like people think, you know, ooh, if I go into analysis, then I'll be normal. And then what's ever creating this... Because it's kind of like, you know, like an oyster gets some irritation in it and it starts trying to put a coating. And that's, I heard, what makes a pearl. So without those irritations, if you remove the air, there wouldn't be any pearls.
Yeah. Like if you didn't have this irritation, you couldn't make such a pearl like... remember when Mackenzie Phillips was getting fucked by her dad? I can't even get my daughter to hold my hand crossing the street.
Yeah.
And thank goodness you have the strife, right?
Thank God I can offend people with pedophilia jokes.
When your wife says to you, hey, I don't really care for that joke.
She hates that joke.
But what are you going to do, right?
Exactly.
I believe he said, shut the fuck up.
Yes. Hey, is there an extra person who could get me more ice?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We have an extra person.
Extra person. you extra person. Can you?
You can follow our extra person at Andrea Comedy on Twitter.
Hurry up, extra person.
Now, when extra person, now, instead of just bringing you a glass with ice, she took your whole glass away. Are you nervous right
that's,
now?
That's yes, very much. I didn't notice it.
Right.
My hand was grabbing for it. And what were we talking about right before the extra person?
We are talking about your wife. Hey, who's she to tell you what you can and can't say? Yeah. It's a multi-million dollar apartment.
Here's what I think about too. Do you notice, now, I don't take drugs, but, you know, that's why I enjoy now, for years, I would go to the dentist and just have them give me the Novocaine, and now,
ride that wave.
Now, all of a sudden,
I get it.
I finally go, hey, you know, about 2-3 years ago, I said, I'm going to try the gas.
Yes.
And then I go... Holy shit.
Yes.
All these years, all the millions of times of drilling and all that stuff, I could have been on that. And it's like...
Do you want to smoke weed after this?
Here's the problem with weed.
Oh, okay.
I used to. And I used to smoke it when it was grass. And
when it would pop as you smoke because it had little seeds in it?
Oh, yes, yes.
The fireworks.
Yeah.
And I would smoke it then. And the problem was I would take one puff and feel incredibly happy. And then I'd go, okay, what am I so happy about? And then it would be, oh, Christ, what is that? My the back of my neck feels funny. Is that, am I dying of something? And why is everyone outside the building walking down the street listening to me and watching me? And have I been talking for 2 seconds now? or I've been talking for 10 days straight.
You know what's the most fun about what you just said? Somebody just smoked a puff and you just gave them so much anxiety.
Oh, yes, yes.
You're welcome, guys.
Yeah, someone's going to jump out a window.
Congrats.
Because of what I said.
Do you, in the documentary, you say, hey, I have to keep doing the stand-up, and you say it as if you don't want to do it anymore, but it'd be rude to leave stand-up because stand-up made you. Am I catching that right?
Yeah. There's that old saying, you got to dance with the date who brought you.
Right. But do you know you don't have to? You don't have to.
It's weird. I still feel like I have to. Well, I'm serious. When someone waves a check in my face, it could be, can you blow up that school bus? Oh, you're giving me money for it? Well, then I at least have to consider
it. Right. You hate the universe to know that you don't respect money.
Yes. Yes. And
but when you take a megabus, and I'm not exaggerating, people think that. Is it all about saving money? Is it do you like to be one of the people?
It's,
because the people don't even take that bus.
No.
But is it fun to be recognized by the toilet?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, you know, it's definitely going back to the days where I didn't have money, and I'm still thinking, I have to do that. But I steal soaps. And
does it come with the life that you don't, like, you woke up and you're like, I could wake up again and not have money?
Oh, yes, yes.
So this is the life I happen to wake up into today. Tomorrow I could wake up into the old life.
Oh, constantly,
and
yeah.
Did that, when you had that Affleck thing and money, you know, you couldn't demand money for certain jobs or all jobs. You just had to, your agent said you got to take what you can.
Yes.
Did that prove to you that that can happen?
Oh, well, that's the one thing with the business that, you know, like, I mean, I'm always walking around in the business thinking it's a party I snuck into and any second, someone's going to walk over with a clipboard and go, oh, your name's not on the guest list.
You got us for a while, but get the fuck out.
Yeah. You fooled us for a second.
And you must really believe that that can happen, because you can't, and I assume, and I hate assuming things about money about people, but I assume even if you stopped working altogether, you and your family would still be okay. But in your head, you're not making the same assumption.
Well, you know what? It's kind of, I think people who, I didn't live through the Depression, but people who lived through the Depression, I think, always thought, I got to save every single penny. It's going to happen again.
So you didn't live through the Depression, but you lived through a depression?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get depressed when I look at my penis.
Why am I worried Gilbert doesn't use a bank? Oh.
Yeah, I shove it all between the pillows.
Is there something to your parents dying so young that you do need to give... get attention from strangers, which I don't know necessarily. I need attention from strangers.
I need attention from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
What are we doing here? We're on microphones having a chit-chat. Right. Yeah, we need attention.
yes, you're desperately. So I guess I would have needed the attention anyway, but with your parents dead, then I think there's that feeling like maybe even years past their death, you're still subconsciously wanting their attention.
Right.
And their approval.
And I've talked to people who lost their parents or their parents don't talk to them. And I'm thinking of abusive parents. And that's always a trip to me. It's like, you just said how your dad literally put cigarette butts out on you. Not Gilbert, but I'm thinking of somebody. I mean, I don't know.
Other people's parents.
Right. But
put cigarette butts out on you.
And then they would say, they would wish they had the same father that they can be talking to them because they passed away. They're sad. Did I make sense?
Yeah, it's so annoying. I mean, my parents don't talk to me. It's been about 2-3 years. And
I don't want to talk to you. So I'm on your parents' side.
You know, they knew this would happen.
Yes. I like your parents already. The fact that they don't speak to you.
It's what they lead with when they're trying to make new friends.
I want to move in with your parents. That's how much I don't like talking to you.
You and my mom would get along. Yes. You would take the bus together, bitch about money. How much are the tomatoes? Oh, my God.
I know there's this one comedian. Well, he's never been on TV or anything, okay. But he's been going to the clubs for years, who I heard years ago when he was like a teenager, you know, he moved out and he said to his parents, look, all of us have nothing in common. We have no reason to ever speak to each other again. And that was it.
Wow. Nobody tried after
that. Yeah. That's what I've heard. And it's like, see, I think there's a weird
What's his
thing.
Name? Greg Giraldo?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And he lived happily ever after.
Yes.
And
that's what that gas will do.
Here's another thing. It just distracted me. One time I had some kind of surgery on my eyes, like some kind of, you know, but whatever. And they were, during the operation.
They asked if I wanted to be put under. Listen to what they have now.
Yeah, they gave me some kind of weird anesthesia that you're not totally out. You're in and out. At times you're asleep and then you wake up and you hear voices.
You really were in a twilight zone.
Yeah, and you know something. You could feel them touching you. And it's like, I remember hearing someone say during the operation, okay, we're just finishing up now. And I thought, no, don't finish up. This is a great high because I don't use drugs recreationally. And I thought, wow, this is great. And I totally understand why people get into drugs. It really does feel great.
Just double check everything, doctor.
Yes.
One more go around.
But you drink some alcohol, right?
Yes. I'll have one glass.
It doesn't
of
do
red
anything
wine.
To you, that twilight?
Well, because I'm not a drinker and I don't even drink every day. It's just when there's free alcohol it's around.
Just whatever people leave in their glasses.
Exactly.
It's amazing they don't drink at all. Those are $10.
So I'll have a glass of red wine if it's free. And so I can still feel kind of a buzz because I'm not a drinker. If I was a drinker, then you'd have to... I mean, that's the way to know an alcoholic is if they could drink bottle of scotch and not even notice it.
Definitely, that's one of the signs. Yeah.
But this is a reason why hard drugs can't be legal. You would just pick up the end of a syringe. Oh,
yes, yes. I totally understand the, because I think, wow, this feels good. It's just like I went to a doctor and I wasn't feeling well and they gave me these four tablets that were like basic, they were steroids. And you know, you take like half and then you only have four because you don't want more than that because your balls will fall off, I think.
Is that what they said?
Yes. The doctor said, medically speaking, your balls will fall off.
Gilbert's like, I don't want to look like Schwarzenegger at the end of this.
Yes. And so Schwarzenegger probably doesn't have any balls.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Okay.
I am so glad we worked this out.
That's nice to know.
Yeah.
That's the fun Hollywood fact.
Yeah. Fun facts. Celebrities without balls.
And then they show the celebrity, but they put a black box on his crotch. The thing is, you don't have to, but it makes you envision it. You actually can put an arrow.
on the E! Channel, they do their fun facts.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, fun facts, Julia Roberts loves ice cream, or fun facts, all that stuff. And then one of them, and I wish they'd meant it as a joke, but they didn't. It was a fun fact. with bright letters and everything. And it said, fun fact, in 1991, Michael J. Fox was diagnosed with Parkinson's. That was actually a fun fact.
I think we're going to have to finally use that Michael Jackson one or Michael J. Fox one. We're out of stuff.
Because you figure Michael J. Fox back then probably said, I have Parkinson's. This is fun.
Well, when you run out of fun facts, you got to stretch.
Right. He's always dancing.
How many facts are fun? Right. If you think about it.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't have balls.
No testicles.
And he was... Wasn't he rushed in for open heart surgery?
Sure, retweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, well, blah, blah, blah.
He looked down and he said, I don't have any balls.
And I'm doing... And of all people, he's doing the maid. He's doing... You know what I mean? And he had no balls.
Yeah.
What a testament. He became a governor.
But he had enough balls to ask mm-hmm. the maid.
Yeah. It's really all up to the heart, isn't it? And then that gives, and then you have to go to UC.
Any kids listening, just know this is adulthood.
Yes, yes.
This is just adulthood.
You just get of age to work.
Yes.
That's really it.
His father, I heard, was an out-and-out Nazi, mm-hmm. Schwarzenegger's father.
Yeah.
They said they found pictures of him. And he wasn't just like some German drafted.
He got into it.
Yeah. He had the medals and everything for...
And you know what? That brings us part of the documentary. You went to this space where people were reenacting wars. I don't understand these people. I try so hard to understand these people. I don't want to, you know,
You don't
want
a reenactment shame.
Right, sure. But if that's your fun, that's your fun. But in my head, I'm like, no actual, like, sure, play cops and robbers and like make it up, play war, but to reenact where we go in or they come into a country and we hate the people that look like this and act like this and we destroy them. Let's put on that outfit and recreate that.
Yeah. It was in Chicago. It was at this resort hotel they had me at, and an entire floor was war from way back from the 1200s.
They got to pick all different outfits.
They're all in elaborate outfits. And my favorite part about it is Nazi officers were running over to me and going, oh, can we do a selfie?
It's an honor.
And I remember looking at them saying, you know, we've had the Nazis all wrong. They're really a swell group of guys who's just gotten some bad press.
I like the one guy who obviously wanted to come up to you, and you have such a good sense of humor about this. You're laughing in their face because it's so ridiculous. You're laughing at this guy. He obviously wants to approach you and say something nice to you. And he goes, I'm kind of like a little kid. He's looking at his feet. He goes, well, now I'm kind of embarrassed by my outfit.
Right.
I just realized I'm a Nazi.
Well, and I said to him, no, it's pressed. It fits well.
Yeah, why would you be
it's
upset?
Clean.
You should be proud.
The swastika is shiny still.
But what I enjoyed is that you see this, just to be clear, you're in this hotel room. They rent out some conference space. They have this little museum in reenactment. When it gets crazy... is when they go, oh, Gilbert, you're here doing a show. They go across the street to see Gilbert's show in the same outfit, sipping a Mai Tai in the back row. What the fuck?
It was like a scene out of Cabaret.
Yeah.
And then they take a group shot with a bunch of Nazis and I think other war reenactors. And just when they go, all right, it's as if you have beautiful timing. He hears the click, raises his hand in the air.
In a Sieg Heil.
Yes, and click, that's when the photo gets taken.
And the funny part about it is even the Nazi officers had too much taste to throw a Sieg Heil.
Right. I guess it's him. How come he could say the N-word, but I can't?
Yeah, exactly.
it was crazy. And Kent is right about these reenactors, because it is odd. They're like,
Who's reenacting the other part of the Nazis?
I'll be a Nazi. Yeah. I mean, you need some, right?
Oh, can I be a Nazi?
Yeah, can I be the one with the striped outfit and the numbers on my arm?
Can I have a reason to hate the Jews?
What's my motivation? Yeah. I'm kidding. I know. We all know. Then at one of the shows, Gilbert's talking to one of the Nazis. His Nazi friend is outside waiting for his buddy to come down. With a baton,
yes.
And tapping it on his hand, just bored, as if he's pacing.
Yes. What?
It was so natural to him.
It was so natural. He wishes.
And in the documentary, that Nazi officer wants to talk to me, says, I got a joke for you.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson. And I thought, this is in outer space now.
And it's a terrible joke. And so how did Michael Jackson get caught? He had crayon on his collar.
I don't. Yeah. What is that? Oh my God.
But so what? They don't put the crayon on their lips.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And so Gilbert says, it's not the worst thing Nazis did. A terrible Michael Jackson joke. Okay. And Gilbert does his Sieg Heil joke that couldn't be the first thing Hitler came up with.
Yeah.
He had to have other ideas like, you know, we are the master race. Ta-da!
Yeah.
All right, two hands, jazz hands, that doesn't work. What else we got?
I lost the crowd with that one. Damn.
But when the Affleck stuff happens and the whole world seems to hate you.
Yes.
Then
seems
right, they okay, despise yeah. you yeah. And it does affect your career, but then that goes away. St. Jude's Hospital asks you to speak at their place. You're just as dirty there, and everybody is still loving it. They love to have a breather. Do you think to yourself, well, I learned nothing?
Yeah exactly. Although it is like, you know, back then I was the villain of the planet with the Affleck thing. It was like they had reporters for a couple of weeks outside my house. Reporters and cameras. It's like, you know, what dictator did you just discover? Right. What child molester did you capture?
Right. He made all the tsunami jokes on Twitter, and they don't mention this in the documentary. And I think it's an important point that Affleck did their vast majority of business in Japan.
Oh, yes.
Oops.
Yeah. So it wasn't exactly, just such tasteful people.
But you know what bothered me a little bit? When you would have Whoopi Goldberg or somebody else, and they'd show these clips when they're on the news or hosting The View saying, yeah, it probably was a little too soon. And are you like, hey, friends.
Oh, yes.
Let the legitimate news cover me. You don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
And it was that I love too soon because it's like you could right now make a joke about the Titanic and people laugh or at least not think about it.
But Kenda brought up a point that maybe it's too soon when the 800 number is on the TV screen.
Oh, yeah.
You enjoyed it then too.
And it's like, but to me, if you make a Titanic joke now and you laugh or at least not offended by it, to me, that's even more offensive to me. Because when I'll do the joke, when the tsunami's first happening, part of the joke is you're laughing because, oh God, I shouldn't be laughing at this.
And it's also, and you spoke a little bit about this in the documentary, that's when you need the joke.
Yes.
Well, it's weird to decide that all the, like, it's like, you all need a joke right now. Here it is.
Yeah.
Right. We all don't tell our wives, fuck you, happy birthday.
Yeah. And the St. Jude's thing, but that St. Jude's act, what happened there, it's like, it was... You know, it's in the...
You're asked to perform, and it's story after... And everybody before you is just telling stories about their kids having cancer.
Yeah. There's a guy right before me in the documentary who's talking about his daughter.
And wondering how long she has to live.
Yeah, wondering how long she has to live, driving her for treatments, and it's, you know...
And you're like, okay, Mickey Mouse on acid. Should Mickey Mouse have cancer?
Yeah.
How do I start this?
Yeah, like, okay, let's see. Should I open with the midget is fucking the hooker, right, or should that be the second one?
But you don't mess around. I mean, you do go. And the guy wins the lottery, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, he's going right into it.
And I do all that, and it killed. It was great. And
Literally, to be clear.
Yeah, yes. Right? I went right as that word came out of my mouth. I said, ah, shit. That's not the...
All the things you would waste your time machine on, you know?
Yeah.
Hitler's still walking around, but...
And I thought, in that case, at St. Jude's, it proved it that they, you know, it's horrible what St. Jude's is... You know what they're dealing with,
sure.
And but they have to laugh. They want a release.
Well, it's funny how when you were talking about, or one of your siblings or one of your sisters was talking about your grandma, that maybe that's where you got your sense of humor because she always liked to laugh. It's funny when people say that to me. Like, who doesn't like to laugh?
Yeah.
Somebody says to me, "Keith, is everything a joke?" Now I understand you have to be serious sometimes, but I hope so.
Yeah.
I want to be laughing all the time and somehow still be able to pay my rent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? What I love is when people say, well, now people need to laugh more than ever. And I think, like during the Holocaust.
Right. Or the Depression.
Yeah, or the Black Plague. they didn't need it then.
Right.
But now,
they didn't
now need- what we're going through.
Right, we probably didn't need it when they killed our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
But now we have a reality
which
president.
Which brings us to the hating the Jews part.
I always try to remind people. They go, oh, the Passion of the Christ, you had the Jews, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, read the book.
And now that it's Easter, I bring on... I bring on the defense because being a Jew, I'm a natural lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I bring on the defense that wasn't Christ put on the earth to be sacrificed? Wasn't that the point?
Yes.
Okay. So we should be applauding the Jews. The Jews did God's work.
Because nobody likes to be told they were tricked.
Yeah.
Even if they know it.
Fun fact, Jesus didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Is April Fool's Day a day for Gilbert, or is it just another day?
Oh, no, that's like a
it's hack.
Yeah, a stupid, annoying holiday.
Amateur it's night.
Like, yeah, that's awful.
It's a day you're afraid to pick up your phone.
Yeah, someone's got something. Hey, you're being audited for it's like, oh, what a joke.
At keithandthegirl.com, we'll put up some pictures that I noticed from this
and the documentary's Gilbert.
It's so
and good. I think it's playing on Hulu.
Yes.
It's playing on Hulu. You can get it on Apple TV. It showed you young that you used to take yoga classes.
No. See, that's the funny thing.
I was tricked. See, yeah. I hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, see?
Documentaries are
and
always
and you know who
false.
Tricked you? The Jews. Same way they killed Christ.
I'm as upset.
The same way they nailed Christ to the cross.
They made you think I did yoga.
Yes. And it was like, I was just used to be really limber. In my childhood and my teens and 20s, and I found myself, and I wouldn't even be thinking about it. I twist my arms behind me, and people going, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
And there was one yoga position I saw a photo of that I was able to actually do, where you get in a lotus position, cross your arms behind your back.
Almost like your arms are being braided.
Yes. And grab your feet.
It
and
was
I
tripping.
Was able to do... Yeah. I never took yoga. I never understood what yoga was even, but I just saw that...
What's medicine?
Yeah.
What's drugs?
Yeah,
what's yoga?
Yes.
What are these kids doing?
Yeah. Kids? What gonna do with these kids today?
But that's...
Why can't they be like we were... Perfect in every way. What's the matter with kids today?
He brought fireworks.
By accident, I was looking for something. Oh, I was trying to look for John Carradine had done, and John and Keith Carradine acted together in an episode of Love American Style.
Okay.
Because I interviewed him recently on the podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. And it was, by accident, I found an episode of Love American Style, and it was where, like, some most likely ad agency, because in movies and TV, if you have a 9-to-5 job, it's an ad agency. You know, going to work for the ad agency again. See, if you're a woman, you can be in an ad agency, a publishing house, a catering firm, or a fashion place.
I really should be writing this down.
Yes. Yes. If you're a man, you work for an ad agency.
It really is Mad Men.
Yes, yes. It has to do with the head of the agency gives one of their top executives, he gets him a new secretary. And the new secretary is real sexy. And the executive is falling to pieces because he's slobbering over her and he's mixing up, dropping his papers and misfiling stuff because he's enamored. And so, of course, the sexy girl was this actress, Carol Wayne, who I think used to go on the Tonight Show as the girl when he do the Art Fern thing.
When they needed a female.
Yeah. And when they needed a sexy, she was blonde and had a baby voice and big breasts.
You know, kind of the Art Fern.
Yeah.
The hottest ones.
Yeah. Poo, so poo, she, pee, yeah, poo. She would always be hired for this, like, you know, what Art Carney would describe as va-va-voo. And
she had such lines as, where am I?
Yeah, see, exactly. So she was the secretary in her high heels and mini skirt, you know, strutting around and bending over to do the file cabinet.
You always have to bend over to the bottom one with these files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
And the executive, who's gone crazy with horniness over her, is Paul Lynn.
Right, he loves chicks.
And it's like, oh my goodness, look at those big breasts. And back then, people accepted that. Right. You know, because Liberace was a guy who was getting all the pussy, so why not Paul Lynn?
It'd be funny if they show Paul Lynn in the file cabinet and all the other drawers are empty. Just the bottom of his files.
And that was an, yeah, and oh, Paul Lynn, talk about people who hated the Jews.
Let's do that.
Very, yeah.
Oh, really?
And in fact, when I was doing Hollywood Squares, it was one of the same producers was around, and he said, oh, yeah, because I asked him, I said, I heard Paul Lynn hated the Jews. And he said, yeah, he said, like, during lunch, they'd have all these great old comics and old actors, and they'd all be sitting around having lunch, having a great time and cracking each other up. Paul Lynn would be like bombed out of his skull.
Right.
And really getting more and more bitter. And he would go, oh, those fucking Jews. They're the reason I don't have a career.
Wow. Oh, I liked him too. What a shame.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't mention anybody else.
Okay. Let's see who else. Oh, there was an old character actor who no one knows now named Eugene Paulette.
Okay.
And they used to call him Froggy because he had one of those voices. And he was a very enjoyable actor to watch. You know, he's always funny. Playing like the tough boss or something. And I heard he, aside from racist, anti-Semitic, and a big supporter of Hitler, he was really...
Nobody told him Hitler's dead?
Yeah, yeah, he was rooting for Hitler to win. And...
Oh, man.
Yes.
Wow. And then, so how fun it is. Between you have that, you have when, and this is a true story, when a white supremacist group made a list of Jews controlling Hollywood, Gilbert was on it. Gilbert, yeah. I sent him to the wrong house. He's ready to kill himself. You think he's running Hollywood?
And I was so flattered.
It's still
because
nice.
Because I was there with, like, you know, Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And I thought, how else would I get on a list with Steven Spielberg other than these wonderful white supremacist Nazi groups?
But all this happens, and somebody thinks they can wear their fun Nazi paraphernalia to a comedy club.
It's just a nice design, Keith.
Right.
They got the angles right.
Right.
Ralph Lauren doesn't get it this right. You know what I mean? Got the Volkswagen in this beautiful outfit.
The number one song right now is from Drake. It's called God's Plan.
God's Plan. God's Plan. I hold back sometimes I won't. Yeah. I feel good sometimes I don't. Hey,
I think this is all of his songs now.
Sometimes he feels good and sometimes he doesn't feel good.
The words really speak to me. Right.
Number one song. And in the video, he goes around giving money away. He goes into a store, gives away tons of money, sees people on the street, walks up to them, just gives them money. That's the whole video. Can you imagine you see Drake and he walks up to you and he wants to, like, just talk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And listening to that song, like, I used to, you know, sometimes I'll hear a song and go, wow, that really took effort and talent. And I'm listening to that and I go, you know, I could have written that song. I could have sung that song. I just was too stupid. Like, if I would have said, hey, you know, I feel good, I feel bad, I'd say, well, that's really fucking stupid. That's not a song.
But sing it. Maybe it'll feel better.
I feel good. I feel bad. Yeah.
Honest to God, that song, everybody laughed at that girl, Rebecca Black. Friday, Friday, Friday. To me, I don't know how it's different than any other song nowadays. I really don't. When Macarena came out, they probably said, oh, a novelty song. And he's like, no, I thought it was like anything else.
Yeah. Well, it's like I remember someone in an article made a big deal at Get Down Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Right.
Was just written in a half hour.
Ooh.
And I thought, why did it take that long?
Plus lunch? Did that include lunch?
Yeah, exactly. Including a shower before.
The lyrics are, if you're thinking you're too cool to boogie, boy, oh boy, have I got news for you.
Yeah, oh, you know the lyrics.
Everybody here tonight must boogie.
Maybe the half hour included pressing the album, having it delivered.
And boogie, oogie, oogie, like what rhymes with boogie? Oh, oogie. Yes.
We need a third one. Oogie. Now that Trump, who you met, of course, on Celebrity Apprentice, I'm going to break the news. He's the president of the United States.
No.
This is the first time. I never thought I'd be able to go, I know the president.
Right.
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah.
I sold cupcakes for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it make you realize, hey, anybody can be president? And I'm not exaggerating. Maybe you don't realize this about yourself. I think you could. And I mean that. Do you go, maybe I should. For a serious moment, do you think maybe I will?
Well, it was crazy enough when Schwarzenegger was governor.
Right.
And, you know, when Schwarzenegger was running for governor, I think like Gary Coleman also did a thing. Yeah. I'm running for governor. And everyone laughed at Gary Coleman.
Right.
And it shows how stupid people are.
Because all we know is Schwarzenegger can put your head through a fucking helicopter.
Yes.
But what's Gary Coleman going to do? What you talking about, North Korea?
He's not going to do nothing. And Schwarzenegger has a magic sword and he wears a toga and he fights off
dragons.
Yeah. And so, you know, well, he does that. Of course he could be governor. And and Gary Coleman, with the exception of maybe two very important episodes of Different Strokes. I remember there were at least two.
The one where he got robbed.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's the third one.
He got robbed. The one where his sister, unless, am I mixing up people? No. Unless, and then the sister wanted to dye her hair, but she used rainwater and it turned green. So that was an environmental one.
And there was a pedophile one, right?
Yeah. The pedophile one was with that guy who was the head of the radio station in WKRP in Cincinnati.
I don't remember. Was
it Gordon Clapp? Was that his name?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Also, no testicles.
Yes, no testicles. So he was the pedophile, and I think he had a bike store.
Oof.
And he was a pedophile. And
isn't that funny? Picture that Raiders room. Guys, idea. Shake things up.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Drummond has to deal with pedophilia.
Everyone, yeah. But every sitcom in the 80s had like one version of those.
Yes.
They had like a sexual assault.
Oh, yeah.
Like
a
very special episode.
There was one where Edith, there's an attempted rape.
Yes.
On her.
That was such a good one. I hate to say that, but
And there was an attempted rape also. Boy, the bunkers just weren't lucky in that. On Gloria.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she was passing by some construction site and a guy jumped her.
And then the black neighbor came over and kissed the dad on the mouth.
Oh, yes.
What is happening over there?
Those were the Jeffersons.
But my favorite Different Strokes, as far as the important episodes, was one where Todd Bridges, mm-hmm. who's Willis.
R.I.P.
He has an irresponsible white friend who likes to drive drunk. One time he goes out with his irresponsible white friend and they hear there was a car accident. They got in and Gary Coleman and Mr. Drummond.
Because we march to the beat of different drums.
Oh, yes. Mr. Drummond.
Honestly, that just came to me now.
Yeah.
You know what? I was like, did I know that or not? I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, they go to the hospital and you know, Todd Bridges, you know, has a Band-Aid on his forehead. Uh-huh. He's okay. Because you crash into a train, and then you might get a little bump on your forehead with a drop of blood, and you slap a Band-Aid on it with a picture of one of the Morphin Power Rangers. and so he's okay. He's just a little groggy. And he goes, How's my irresponsible drunken white friend? Although he didn't phrase it.
Right.
It was a different writer's room.
They probably said his name.
Oh, doctor.
I have an irresponsible white friend. I know I should. Before I tell you his full name, I know I should. But I have an irresponsible white friend.
Doctor,
where is he?
I'm checking. Do you have an irresponsible drunken white boy here?
Oh, I know who he means. Room 3.
And the doctor goes, I'm sorry, he didn't make it.
Oh my God.
And Todd Bridges, in an Academy Award winning performance, starts crying.
And says, did you give him a Band-Aid?
And when Todd Bridges is crying, he says to Mr. Drummond, who marches to a different drum.
Well, might be right for you, might not be right for some.
He says to Mr. Drummond, he says, look at me. I'm crying like a little boy. And Mr. Drummond goes, no, son, you're crying like a grown man. And then it ends with the credits and no music. That's when mm-hmm. you knew you saw Ooh. Something important yeah. when the credits would roll up.
Punky Brewster got locked in a fridge.
Everyone got locked in a fridge.
No music after that, believe me.
And they left her there.
It wasn't Reno. She's still there as far as we know. She's fictional. It's not a big deal, but it's weird.
And they would have the sound of cars driving past the refrigerator. Going, don't open it. She's irresponsible, drunk, and white.
And then Willis walked past and goes, hey, want to be friends? It was a crossover.
Here, have a sip of this and let's go driving.
When I was watching your documentary, I couldn't help but wonder how often you have sex. Do you mind if I ask?
Well, I'm a wild man.
Could it average once a week? Okay. Okay, there we go. All right, the documentary, see it. It really is so good. It's so good. You're laughing, you're crying. He tricks you like Jesus.
It's really good.
Tricks you like, in fact, the Pope said, I'll trick you like Jesus.
But he doesn't mess around. The movie is called Gilbert. I think more movies should be named accordingly.
Yes.
I don't want to go, who's in that?
Yes.
Gilbert's in that.
It's called Gilbert, and it's Hulu, iTunes, I guess,
isn't it funny
the
now?
The podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast. Oh, and very, and if you want to see where I'm performing,
I'm not going to just stop
you,
all of a sudden. Do you know that?
Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert
you think everything's going to go away, don't you?
.com.
GilbertGottfried.com.
Yeah, for my, because I never remember what places I'm going to be playing at. Right. So I'll do a show and I'll go, oh, I'm doing that tomorrow? Why didn't I say that?
Right. What's good is that you can also tweet at Gilbert and he'll tell you the bus schedules.
Yes.
For any city you're in.
And I find Twitter to be a really expensive hobby.
Right. In the millions, in fact.
Yes. In the documentary, to show how it was so idiotic, like that I was this major news story with making a tsunami joke. One of the newscasters, very urgently, they're showing behind him the scene of like the waves washing away Japan.
Yeah.
And he goes, and to make matters worse, comedian Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm going, how did I make matters worse?
There was one of the news articles, one of the news places, if it's not that very one, behind them, they were obviously just telling a story about So You Think You Can Dance. The logos on the TV behind them. So they did You Think You Can Dance news, and then went to Now.
Just when you think you can't dance.
I'll tell you who can't dance, Japan. Yeah. And who's not letting them?
Those damn waves.
Right. Gilbert's Twitter account is at RealGilbert. Trust me, follow it. He'll fuck up again. It's fun. And like he said, the website, Gilbert Gottfried, GOTTFRIED.com.
It's so funny that we need to be so specific at the end of the show, the beginning of the show. If you can't find Gilbert Gottfried, we're literally Google and all our machines, they correct your spelling.
I know.
Where are you going to land on? You're going to misspell Gilbert Gottfried and land on who?
Right.
Again, Greg Giraldo.
What I find so weird is, and I barely understand technology. I have a
phone. That's what you should have said when they got you on the Affleck.
Yes.
What?
I don't know. I thought I was saying something tasteful. I don't understand.
You start literally eating your phone. I don't get it.
Yeah, sure. And I'll try to send a text. And it's so amazing to me that it's like not only do you get the correct spelling, but you'll go, I think I'll go, and it'll go to the movies.
Ooh.
And it's like, wow, it already knows what I'm going to say.
Mm. Yeah. And like you'll write, hey, happy anniversary, fuck off. And it'll change it to I love you. So that's why things have been going on for two decades. It's no surprise. They could add semicolons and hearts.
Here's the other thing with the internet I don't get. It's like when I do a job, like whatever, a voiceover, a show or whatever, and it's like either they're begging me, either they want me to tweet it 50 times an hour.
You have to be the promo business now.
Yeah, yeah. Either they want me to do it constantly, like every minute on the minute, send out a tweet. Or there's other cases where I said, oh, I just filmed or recorded such and such. And they go nuts. They go, no, you're not supposed to tell people. And it's
right.
Yeah.
They might know you're doing something.
Yes.
And
yeah,
look out
yeah.
for it. Yeah.
And I'm
and
thinking,
they might get excited.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, so let's say instead of you making the big announcement, now by me spilling the beans, people are going to start talking about it on the internet and the internet. See, that's the black internet, the internet.
We knew we'd get one before the end.
You are, Al's going to be
No.
Today,
don't
internet.
Do it. Remember when you sent out those tweets? No one was there to stop you. I'm going to stop you. Just because you're so likable up until now.
But it is funny that, no, don't tweet now. Okay, now.
Yeah.
It's like when I use my card in a store and they go, put your card in, and then you put it in. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Now, take it out now!
Yes,
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm always on edge right there. I'm just, my hand is literally over the card because, and also, they must get the timing on the other side, on the cashier side. Right before it beeps, they go, take it out. And I'm like, okay, but I don't get it in time. It starts beeping, and I feel like the whole world is just chaotic because of me.
And sometimes it feels like, you know, you're working a slot machine. You put in and go, oh, is it going to take it this time?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's so true.
Yeah.
Let's just think on that.
Fun fact.
Fun facts.
Fun fact. Chemda had a tumor. Another fun fact. Isn't it crazy when you put a credit card?
Gilbert, I love you. That's a fact.
Yes.
And I know you.
Yes.
And don't forget, you guys can join this Twitter craziness that we all don't understand, but we claim to. We're on at Keith and the Girl, of course, at Real Gilbert, and that extra person at Andrea Comedy, if you want to follow her.
The other person.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> The extra person, excuse me. I didn't mean to discredit your name, Andrea.
So
she's the soda girl.
That's how she likes to be known. Yes.
Oh, yeah, soda girl.
Yes.
Gilbert's like, you remember in the original recording of the Ten Commandments how they had a soda girl? Like,
yeah.
A lot of times I just go, sure. It's you're talking about an actor. I know actors. Sure. I know who you mean. KeithandTheGirl.com is where everything's at. And our new podcast is available now at myopeningline.com. We talk to comedians and actors about their very first times on stage. KeithandTheGirl.com.